The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, thank you so much for joining us. It's such a pleasure to have you with us, and I know you're going to really enjoy this next interview and a wonderful returning guest, actually, who's with me right now, Katie Brown. She's the Life League Director of Communications. She's got all kinds of different jobs and titles, I think, at American Life League, or has held different ones. And it's such an honor to have her with us again today. And we're going to be talking about a very, very important subject. And that is, of course, when you make a charitable gift, do you know who you are giving it to? Do you know what the organization, the charitable organization that you're giving your money to, do you know what they're doing with that money? And Katie's going to be here today with us, talking to us about a specific group, but also in general, about who are these people that we give our money to, particularly what are we doing with the Girl Scouts movement? How is this impacting our young people? Who are the Girl Scouts movement? And is there an alternative? Katie Brown, as always, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you.
Molly, thanks so much for having me back on. Always great to be on the show.
Absolutely. So, Katie, there was a very interesting press release that was put out recently about what American Life League is doing with regards to this. And you know, it's so funny because we are actually in the process of rebuilding our website. And one of the things we're going to put right on the front page is the American Life League's charity watch list, because I think this is probably the go-to place to find this out. Tell us a little bit about how this, firstly, number one, how did the charity watch list come about? What is it? And then we'll dive into what's happening with the Girl Scouts movement.
Of course. So the charity watch list is actually something that American Life League had done a couple of years ago, but then just kind of between researchers, it had kind of fallen to the wayside. But you know, with COVID, things get shuffled around. So it was something that kind of sat dormant for a while. But even though we hadn't done it for a while, people consistently called us and asked, when's the charity watch list going to be updated? You know, is there anything I can look at to show, you know, what organizations are, you know, where their money is going and that kind of thing. So it was something that we prioritized in the last couple of years, wanting to get this back up. And so we were officially able to relaunch it back in the fall. But basically what it is it gives charitable organizations, so 501c3s, it gives them either a red, yellow, or green rating into, you know, where they put their money. So unfortunately, most of the list is red, as a lot of charitable organizations, you know, either give to kind of woke ideas, or maybe they have, you know, programs that support abortion or stem cell research and things like this. So it kind of looks out for those things, you know, where do nonprofits fall in regards to life issues? And, you know, like I said, a lot of them unfortunately are red, but the good news is that there's also a lot of green organizations on there, ones that either say, yes, I am pro-life, or their mission falls outside of that. And they don't even touch abortion. They don't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this day and age where things are crazy and people are kind of looking around, you know, wanting to affect change, but kind of just not really sure how to, this is a really easy way to make a difference. Money talks, and people, you know, where we put our money, I think, holds a lot of value. So it's a great tool for people to use. It's free online, right on our website. And yeah, people can go there and figure out, you know, if they're giving to an organization or if they would like to give to an organization. Before they make that choice, they can go on there and find out where exactly the money is going.
Excellent. Absolutely. And as I said, folks, I will actually put this up on our From the Medium website with Katie's interview links. But as well, we will be revamping our website, and we will make sure that we've got a link to the American Life League's charity watch list. one of the things that I would also like to highlight during this our time together here, Katie, is as I mentioned, Girl Scouts cookies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to admit to a sin, because online during this interview, I did buy Girl Scouts cookies this year. It was one of those things. It's an amazing little girl that I know from down the road. She's just joined Girl Scouts, and she came mm-hmm. and she had these cookies, and I said, okay, give me 4 boxes. And, you know, it was only when we were actually, you know, I was sort of walking back in the door. I thought, oh my gosh, I should not have done that, because I wonder where the Girl Scouts is. And this particular family are very, you know, very Christian. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe crossed my mind, oh, they're probably okay. Got back inside, and sure enough, they're not okay. So, I have to admit that I did spend some money on Girl Scouts this year, but this is the problem. We've got to keep that in the forefront of everybody's mind. Tell us a little bit about the Girl Scouts movement.
Sure. So this is one of those organizations that people ask about frequently. And if you actually look on the Girl Scouts website, they come out and say, we don't have any ties to Planned Parenthood. You know, when you buy a box of Girl Scout cookies, that money doesn't go to Planned Parenthood. So, but we really wanted to do extra digging here, because you look at some of the things that they teach, and you know, it's just some of the values that they hold, and it doesn't necessarily add up. So what our research team was able to find out is that the Girl Scouts are directly funded by groups like United Way, Johnson & Johnson, that have very close ties with Planned Parenthood. So in that way, they are tied to Planned Parenthood. But not only that, they kind of push the, you know, the woke agenda on girls with different programs. So one of the things that we found most alarming is they have what they call their public health badge, which requires girls from sixth grade to the 12th grade. So, you know, middle school girls, high school girls, requires them to complete 6 health modules to get this badge. And one of these health modules was developed with the CDC focusing on what they call their sexual health. So it requires girls as young as 11 to learn about, you know, STD testing, protected sex, unprotected sex, abortion, you know, things that they just want to, unfortunately, push on girls so that they think that, you know, they can have unprotected sex and, you know, everything's fine. And then, you know, you end up pregnant. And what do? You turn to Planned Parenthood to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. So this is a badge that, you know, girls can get and put on their vests or on their little cross shoulder straps. And it I think it really kind of highlights exactly what the Girl Scouts values are. And so it's one of those things that we, like, kind of like you said, you know, I don't know that a lot of people are too aware of this. Mm-hmm. And this badge in particular is something new. I think it was created in 2022, so relatively new. Mm-hmm. But it really, I think it kind of pulls the veil back from the Girl Scouts and just shows, you know, this is just like any other, unfortunately, big corporate organization that really wants to indoctrinate our kids into kind of these woke ideologies.
Absolutely. And one of the things that was pointed out in your article was that they maintain an ongoing partnership with the World Association of Girls Guides and Girl Scouts, whose delegation for the Commission on the Status of Women demanded access to comprehensive sex information and services and supplies to all young people. So right there, they are actually promoting this. They're promoting it at the UN level, which is even, I mean, this is going worldwide.
Exactly. And I mean, I actually was a Girl Scout too when I was in middle school, I think. And then my mom, through doing some, you know, just some heroic mom work, figured out at our local Catholic school that, you know, the moms kind of got together and figured out, even then in the early 2000s, that Planned Parenthood still had these kind of seedy connections to, yeah, whether it's the World Health Organization or the CDC or Planned Parenthood. And so, you know, did a superman move and pulled us out. But I think what people need to know is that, yes, the Girl Scouts are connected to bad things, but the good news is that there are good options out there. And that's something I didn't have when I was younger. I don't know that my local area had a good alternative to the Girl Scouts, but there is a good alternative out there. And I think that's what people really need to embrace and just kind of know about.
And the alternative is the American Heritage Girls.
Yes. So the American Heritage Girls was actually founded in the 90s. So it's been around for a while. But it was actually founded by a group of moms out where you guys are,
yeah,
in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've spanned way beyond Ohio at this point. They've got groups all over the nation. And usually they're attached to either homeschool groups, churches, private schools, that kind of thing. But they really are a solid organization in that right on their website, they actually have a pro-life declaration where they seek to instill values in young girls, where they protect human life at all stages for all reasons. And not only that, but they also strive to teach girls the values of purity and chastity through the different programs that they have available. So just a really wholesome alternative to what the Girl Scouts unfortunately have become.
You mention as well that there is, we've just gone through whatever Women's History Month or something, where women are, so, which is a wonderful thing. I'm not knocking it, but some of the women, it's become a very politically woke time in every single year. So we get all these very woke people that are being women that are being touted as being, you know, the saviors of femininity and of the world, basically. Now I don't know what they're going to do, because now we're not actually publicly allowed to say that we're a woman anymore. We have to just be a they, them, or whatever they call them. Good grief. We've gone.
Right.
Good grief. I don't know what to say. But anyway.
Good grief indeed. Yep.
But American Life League was touting the fact that we need, and advertising the fact we need to look for our own women that we can put out there and actually sort of almost, go head on to some of these woke ideas and head on bring some other women that have done a phenomenal thing for women, for for society, and do them. And one of the ones you mentioned is the founder of the Heritage Girls.
Yeah. So we really wanted to try to kind of just counter, like you said, just like the woke agenda that people really seem to push in Women's History Month. And it should be, we're both women. We both want to celebrate positive women.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, it's turned into this woke ideology thing, just, kind of like everything else that we celebrate. So we wanted to kind of flip the narrative and honor Patty, and I might say her last name wrong.
Garaby.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But we wanted to honor Patty. She's the founder of the American Heritage Girls, and we just wanted to kind of get her name out there, because I don't know that a lot of people know who she is. Yeah. So, she's one of these moms that founded the group out in Ohio in the 90s. And so we just wanted to remind people, there are female heroes out there that we can honor during Women's History Month that don't necessarily have to go in with that woke agenda, with the crowd of women who maybe aren't even women that we're celebrating in Women's History Month. So we wanted to just kind of lift up Patty, along with, other women heroes who have done just extraordinary things in the name of womanhood. So that's one that we really wanted to kind of just lift up to people.
It would be interesting to see if we could ever get, as the woman that is going to be celebrated maybe in the next year or two, is the Virgin Mary. We should maybe really push hard for that one. So, yeah,
right.
Yeah. Which sort of segues into some of the things that you are doing at American Life League. You are, I don't know whether you still are, but I think one time when I interviewed you, you were the sort of the head of the director of the Marion Blue Wave. Is that still around, and are you still involved in that?
It is, yes. And I think you said this at the beginning, kind of part of working at a small organization like American Life League, you have one title, but you wear like six different hats. So that is still something that I'm very involved in. But yes, I'm still the director of our Marion Blue Wave program. And it is, I think it's going to turn 5 years old this fall, but it's one of those programs that really just gives people something positive to hold on to. So for people who aren't familiar with it, it basically just asks that Catholics and other Christians pray a rosary once a week for the specific intentions of ending all types of abortion and shutting down Planned Parenthood facilities. And that's really all it is. It's just a weekly rosary for these specific intentions. And we've collected over the last 5 years or so, we've collected a group of about 10,000 people, not only in America, but also around the world, who have all kind of signed up online to commit to pray for these intentions. So it's a really just positive, very prayerful and peaceful group of people who all want to see some kind of change and just put that faith in our Blessed Mother to do the job for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we really do need for people to pray. We're just going through our strategic planning for Cleveland Right to Life and just gone through that. And one of the things we're totally going to focus on is that whole idea of prayer. Because mm-hmm. without prayer, you may or may not know this, Katie, but we start on the 1st of January every year before the convention, we start a prayer list on our website so you can sign up to pray for us. So we try to fill every day to start with up until the beginning of middle of February, and then we try to do it so that by the time we get to the convention, every hour we are being prayed for by somebody. So somebody is praying for us and covering us in prayer, because let's face it, when you are doing God's work, there is a lot of stuff being thrown at you. It's very sad to see it, but we are fighting the devil. It's a spiritual warfare, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I couldn't agree with you more. Let's make sure we get people. Go onto the American Life League's website and you'll find all their programs there. One of the things that has just recently come up, and I didn't tell you I was going to talk about this, but I'm sure you're able to answer some questions about what do we do about President Biden and his making Transgender Day Easter Sunday. Goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness.
Me.
Yeah. I mean, I think just as an American, I mean, put our line of work aside and just as a Christian American, I mean, it can't get any more, I think, provocative than somebody who calls themselves a Catholic. Yeah. Turning our Easter Sunday, the holiest days of the year, into something that's going to just basically mock God's creation. I mean, it's just, I don't even know that we've fully processed that decision yet. It is, I think, truly probably the most offensive thing he could have done.
Yeah.
And I know that there is outrage. I mean, I think it's a healthy outrage, but I think what our responsibility is now is to really encourage our church leaders to hold him accountable.
Yep.
And I think that looks like excommunication. I mean, I'm not a priest, obviously, so that's not for me to say, but I mean, we just have to have some level of accountability, because I think we as a people, as Catholics and Christians, we're maybe a little bit lost in terms of who we look to for leadership. Because we have people like Joe Biden who say that they're Catholic and are able to do things like turn Easter into a day to celebrate transgender people. So it's really, I think we're looking and kind of thirsting for guidance. Yeah. And I just really would encourage people to encourage their church leaders and their priests and their bishops to just hold him accountable, because somebody has to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's almost to the point of an action that action. And I'm not calling, Joe Biden, the president of the United States, this, but I'm saying the action is demonic. It is a demonic action to take the holiest day, which sets us apart from every other religion. I mean, this is who we are as Christians, regardless, Catholic or any Christian. We had a sermon on Easter Sunday in our church, and the priest that gave the sermon comes from Africa, grew up in Africa, and he talks about the fact that he spoke at one point to a man who had given up his other faith, his other religion, and moved himself over to being a Christian, and he was asked and was being persecuted because of it, and they said, why did you do this? And he said, this is the only religion where God is still with us. All the others, all of your other gods, they died. This one,
right.
God is, and it happened on Easter Sunday. And then to take the most insulting thing we can possibly do, which is transgenderism, and pretend that we have control over whether we are made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, he made them, That's, and then to try and pretend that this transgenderism is something that is to be celebrated. Unbelievable.
It really and truly is. I mean, it really, I agree with you. I think it is in nature. I think it's demonic. Whether the president is under some kind of demonic influence. I think that you look at his political career, how long he's been in office. I mean, since Roe versus Wade was put into law, he's been there since day one. Mm-hmm. And I think you look at his decisions that he's been a part of and you know, how he still receives the Eucharist and calls himself a Catholic. I don't think you can persist in that level of evil and then in tandem pretend to practice your faith and Absolutely. Not succumb to some kind of demonic influence. So yeah. I think not only do we need to, you know, encourage our priests and bishops to hold him accountable, but I would really encourage people to pray for the president.
Absolutely.
And I know people are angry. I know people have a lot of resentment and hatred for this man, which I don't think any of that is healthy per se, but you know, we really yeah. need to just pray for him because at the end of the day, he has a soul too. So
absolutely. Like well said. Well said.
You know, yes. Yeah. Yep. Well we gotta pray
yeah.
for him.
Yeah. And as I say, I don't judge anyone. I don't, you know, I try really hard not to judge them, but the actions can be judged.
Exactly.
And that yep. action, exactly. I'm not for one minute saying, as I said at the beginning, I'm not saying that President Biden is a demon. I'm just saying that the action that was performed that happened then on, you know, making this beautiful, unbelievable, hopeful day into just a day of such sadness, because mm-hmm. it is so sad. We had at our convention, as you know, this year we had Chloe Cole come, and you look at the brokenness that this is doing to people, the absolute human suffering that is being perpetrated on our young people through mm-hmm. this transgenderism. There has to be some accountability here. You cannot celebrate that and say this is going to be a celebration day for this. And you're right. I love the way you've put it. The bishops and the church in general has to hold him accountable. I would call on any Democrats who are listening to this program, or anybody who's listening to, regardless of whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or independent, you know, contact the White House and say, sorry, this was not acceptable. You know, mm-hmm. this is our White House, and you've just, you know, this action was absolutely diabolical. You cannot do this. So I think I love the fact that you're calling us all to prayer. Pray for Joe Biden. Absolutely. Absolutely. So many places to pray. So many things to pray for. But, is there anything, and we've got about two, three minutes left. What can you tell us that is working very well?
So I think the things that are working are the things that have always worked. And I think that is obviously prayer. You know, we have to hold fast to our prayer. But I think, and this is something I know you guys focus on too, Molly, I think education really is the thing that works the best. Because, you know, you see different, and I mean, this is the beauty of the pro-life movement, is everybody has their different little niche. And everybody kind of works together to further the kingdom of God. But I think the thing that continues to work and will continue to work and will be the answer is pro-life education. And so that, you know, it just kind of shows people what human life is, the beauty of it, but then also why it's important that we protect it. So, you know, that's something I know you guys focus on, pro-life education. We do too at American Life League. And I think that when you look at things that are really going to change hearts and minds, it's not going to be yelling. It's not going to be fighting. You know, we know this obviously, but I think looking and really going back to our roots, to what the founders of the pro-life movement wanted to start with all those years ago, it was pro-life education. And so mm-hmm. I think when we look at things that are really going to carry us forward, especially in this post-Roe society that we now find ourselves in, which is very messy, I think pro-life education really is the answer.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I think the education, if we can really education and get teach the choir to sing, which is the byline of our convention, teaching the choir to sing through prayer, action, voting, and education. I mean, I think as you teach that, you get people confident to go out there and then start in the actions. You know, and as you said, we'd never advocate things that were negative, but always as we become more confident in who we are. I mean, it's like anything. If you get a degree in bioethics, you can then go and become a bioethicist, and you can teach that, and you can actually influence the world. But what we are trying to do is to actually give people that incredible strength to be able to articulate what God wants from us. And American Life League is, I consider you a giant in what we're doing. So God bless you all for all of you for what you do there. Kelly Brown, absolutely, as always, wonderful to talk with you. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Molly.
Take care. God bless you. Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star four-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.